Mishnah, a long Mishnah, a wonderful Mishnah. In page Nun Dalet, Amud Alef, page 54. So, Haro'e Makom, the person that goes in a certain way and suddenly he sees a place, Shenasu bo Nisim leYisrael. And he sees a place that in that place miracle happened to Am Israel. Means like Mount Sinai, like the walls of Jericho, Jericho, and more and more and more. Arvot Moab, places that we know that Am Israel had miracles in those places. Omer, he should say, Baruch Shasa Nisim La'avotenu, blessed is the one, means that he should say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, even that the Gemara is not bringing all of those words, and he's saying, Baruch Shasa means, Baruch Ata Hashem, means it's a bracha. You need to say bracha, thank you Hashem that you made miracles, Nisim La'avotenu, to our fathers, Bamakom Hazeh, in that place. מקום שנאקרא ממנו עבודת כוכבים ומזלות, in a place that been uprooted from that place עבודת כוכבים ומזלות, an idol, if from that place we know that in that place there was an idol over there, so in that place you have something to say. I think that we know about a place like that today in Gay Ben Hinnom. If we're driving here straight on Der Hebron toward to Der Hebron, so so under Mount Zion, Har Zion, after we crossing Shar Yafo, Jaffa Gate, there is a valley over there, a green and beautiful valley. So once it wasn't so beautiful, and people that were worshipping idols were slaughtering their children over there and burning them as sacrifices, human sacrifices. So if there was an idol over there, I'm not sure, something, it was a place of Avodah Zarah. So over there, actually the Gemara is saying that over there, Gay Ben Hinnom, it's the entrance to hell. Once there were two palm trees that were standing over there and there was smoke coming from under those two palm trees. It's written in the Gemara. And when Chachamim went and asked, what is that smoke? They said, this is the entrance to hell, to Gehenom. Like Lehavdil, we know that the entrance to heaven is from Me'arat HaMachpelah. This is the entrance to heaven. This is the entrance to hell. Okay, so if a person is walking to a place that there was an idol over there and it's been uprooted, Omer, he should say, Baruch she'akar avodat kochavim u'mazalot me'artzenu. Blessed is the one that uproot a place of worshipping idols from our land. I think that even in a simple place, like if there was a church in that place and they're going to uproot the church, they're going to ruin the church today, Be'ezrat Hashem, so you should say all of those blessings. Al hazikin, on the zikin, zikin, it's kochav shavit. How you say kochav shavit? It's a star that you. It's not a maybe it's a falling star. Kochav shavit. It's a star that you see him. I think that let's see what they're saying. Zikim. The Gemara is gonna explain. It's something like a falling star. You can see that star when he flies in the air.
Okay.
And now I think this
could
is
be a comet.
Three, let's see. Three, re'ela, lanum, chet, bet. Alright, we're going to see that in the Gemara. Ve'al ha-zva'ot. Zva'ot in our Hebrew today, zva'a, it's something horrifying. It's a horrible thing that you saw. But the explanation here in the Gemara is earthquake. ועל הרעמים ועל הרוחות, and on the thunders and on the winds, ועל הברקים, and on the, I say ברק,
lightning,
lightning. אומר, the man should say, ברוך שכוחו וגבורתו מלא עולם. ברוך אתה השם אלוקינו מלך העולם, that his power and his גבורה, its judgment, its power of Hashem filling the world, is full inside of the world. You can see it everywhere, that Hashem is very powerful, that Hashem can make an earthquake. No one can make an earthquake, just Hashem can do things like that. Al heharim ve'al hagvaot, if you see mountains and wonderful hills, means very special ones. Not if there is a mountain in your city and you cross that mountain every day on the way to school or something. Means if you suddenly see the Grand Canyon, the Everest, places that, wow, you're looking on the Niagara Falls, places that you see view sites that you're amazed from the power of Hashem Yitbarach, amazing places like those. Ve'al hayamim ve'al hanearot, and on the seas and on the rivers, mean the huge ones, the ones that mamash you're amazed to see. Ve'al hamidbarot, and on the deserts, Omer, you should say, Baruch, again, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, it's a complete bracha. Ose Maase Bereshit. The writing Ose Bereshit, but actually Ose Maase Bereshit. You are the creator of the creation, of in from the beginning, in Bereshit.
Does that include Kevin
Rahel? What?
Does that include Kevin Rahel?
No. Why?
I'm just curious.
But why Kevin Rahel and not Me'arat HaMachpelah? Or why?
We already know about that, but that's what I'm saying. Could Kevin Rahel be, I mean, 100 years ago, it stood out of the desert all by itself.
No, but the blessing that we now said, it's on the desert itself. It's on the creation of Hashem. Maybe if you want to ask if there is a bracha for a holy tzion of a righteous man or a woman or something like that, this is something else maybe, and we're going to see that. Okay. But for now, we're talking about proofs on the creation of the Creator. Yesterday in the shiur in Shabbat morning, Rav Shalom said something mamash amazing. He said, you don't need no proof that there is a creator. No one can give you an explanation of how your finger is moving. No scientist can give you an answer on how that's happening. He said, when I was now in the United States, I went to make it bodediot in fields, in forests, places that are wild a little bit more than the woods here in Sanhedria. And he said, you can see a spider that is making his spider webs, and for hours, and the length of the string that he's making is so long, and he keep on making it and making and going from a tree to a tree and going and going. He said, if there is no spirituality, it cannot be. He doesn't have the material, he doesn't have, cannot have the power to make something like that if not there is something spiritual that is nurturing him, that gives him the power to do that. He said, you see a mosquito that flies a crazy distance, a huge, gigantic distance, and it's flying and flying and flying. He said, you have to have a jet engine to fly that distance. And you can. And he doesn't have nothing. He's just flying. And he's got a will. The will, it's a connection to spirituality. You have a will. He wants to fly. This is it. Hashem helps him to fly. He doesn't have no power. He cannot fly. Nothing can fly that distance. We cannot make it. But he can. Why? Because there is spirituality. Said. So when you see things like that, it makes you mamash. You see Hashem. You see how powerful Hashem is. So he's saying that bracha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, disagree on that, and he's saying, Haro'et Hayam Gadol. Only when you see the large sea, means the ocean. Only then you're saying the bracha. Not in all of the seas. Not if you see Yam Suf, or if you see Yam HaTichon, or if you see regular sea, small sea, you don't say that bracha. Just only if you see the large sea, the ocean. Omer, Baruch Ata Hashem, She'asa et Hayam HaGadol, that made the large sea. Alright, so maybe Rabbi Yehuda, not like I explained it. he agreed that you should say a regular bracha Oseh Maaseh Bereshit on all of the seas, but on the ocean he's got a special bracha Sha'asah Et Hayam Hagadol, that he made the large sea. Bizman Sheroehu Liprakim, but only if he sees it once in a while, not daily. Means if he's a sailor, he will not gonna say that bracha every day that he's opening his eye, his eyes. If a sailor, maybe he's got only one eye. So, no, you're not laughing today. It was a hard Shabbos. Okay, so means only if you see those things once in a while, you're saying those bracha or those brachot. Al hagshamim, on the rain, ve'al besorot tovot, and on good rumors, good news, Omer, you should say, Baruch hatov ve'hametiv, thank you Hashem, that you're good and you're doing only good things. Al besorot ra'ot, Omer, on bad news, lo alenu, the man should say, Baruch dayan ha'emet, thank you Hashem, that you're judging everything with truth. Bana bayit chadash, if he build a new house, vekana kelim chadashim, and he bought new vessels to the house, Omer, he should say, kelim chadashim, it can be vessels, it can be clothes also. Omer, he should say, Baruch shechiyanu vikiimanu vigianu lazman hazeh, thank you Hashem, you're blessed that you revived us and brought us to be exist, Vegianu, and brought us to that time to enjoy from that. Just that you're gonna know, if a man is buying a house, Bezrat Hashem, so he should say that bracha when he's signing the contract. Even if you're gonna enter to the house in 1 year or so. When you're signing the contract, this is when you bought the house. Then you should say the bracha. When I bought my house in the office of the lawyer, apartment. Your house, this is your house. I asked the people that I bought the house and the lawyer, please, if you can answer amen. They were chilonim, all of them. I told them, please, if you can answer amen. I said the bracha, they all answered amen. Wonderful. So, if the person got, now the Gemara, it's a little bit hard to understand, but in the way that it's written, but the Gemara is saying here, the Gemara is going back to what that we said, that there are two blessings, that one is on good news and one on bad news. So the Gemara is saying, Mevarech al ha'ra'a me'ein ha'tova. When you're saying the bracha Baruch Dayan Ha'emet on bad things that happen, you should say it exactly like you're blessing Hashem Yitbarach on the good things, like you're saying Atov Ha'emeti. Mamash, with all of the intention, with all of your heart, thank you that you're judging me with truth. Maybe it's hard, but this is the real will of Hashem Yitbarach, that we're going to believe in Him, that He's doing only good. Ve'al ha'tova me'ein ha'ra'a. And also on good things you should say, even though the bracha, even though that something bad can happen out of that. If now someone saw something good that happens, but he knows that something bad can come out of it, maybe someone will not gonna like it, maybe someone will not gonna accept it, even that it's something very good. But he knows that his wife gonna have sorrow because of that. He knows that it's good. He knows that now, but in the end, he knows that something can be not so good out of it. He should also say bracha on it, like that it's all perfect. Ve'al ha'tova me'ein al ha'ra'a. Why? Because you cannot tell really what can happen. So you're blessing a complete bracha with all of your heart. Vatzoek leshavar, the man that is shouting means praying on something that already happened. Harezut filat shav, it's a useless prayer. Means if something now happened, they let him know that someone is sick, and now he's going and say, please, that he will not going to be sick. This is not what you should say. You should say, Hashem, make him healthy. Okay, you should pray on something that's going to happen in the future, not change that decree, change, don't make it happen. It happened. What do you want? It already happened. Something happened, started the war, something. No, that it will not going to be a war. You're wasting words. It's not real. Pray that Hashem going to stop it first, that Hashem going to find the solution, that something, logic, it's inside nature already, so you should pray through nature. Don't pray crazy prayers to erase things that happened. That Hashem, that the Holocaust never happened, please Hashem. It's not a prayer that you can pray, it's not something real. You need to pray with how that Hashem is leading the world. Another giving examples. Haita ishto meuberet, if his wife is already pregnant, ve'omer, and he's saying, Yehi ratzon sheteled ishti zachar, and he's saying, I wish that my wife gonna give birth to a baby boy. Harei zu tfilat shav. So this is a worthless prayer. So we need to understand why and when. First of all, we're talking after 40 days of creating the valad, the baby inside. Before of it, you can pray. After 40 days, it's been set already. But I'm going to tell you a secret, that one time there was an avrech that came to our Rav Shalom and told him that he already have a girl, and now they went and made an ultrasound and they saw that they have another girl inside. And he started to pray and to cry to Arav and told him, Arav, please, I have to have a boy, I don't know what to do, another girl in the house, I cannot cannot handle, it's too much for me. And he mamash begged to Arav Shalom. Arav Shalom told him, give me a small pidyon and go make another ultrasound. And he gave Arav Shalom a small pidyon, not a lot of money, 100 shekel, 50 shekel, something like that. And they went to do another ultrasound 1 week after, and it was a boy. Just like that. So, we need to understand the Gemara in a deeper way, maybe. We don't know. It's written on Rabbi, I told you that a few times, on Rabbi Mordechai Sharabi, that when women would come to him and tell him that they need babies, that they don't have kids, so he would go and ask his wife, Rabbanit Leah, if it's okay by her that if they have another baby, so that they're going to give her. And she would say always yes, and always it would work. And they never had children, and Rav Mordechai and his wife, and every woman that came to them, they had. So they were giving their babies, the soul that will belong to them, to people. It can be. There is another story that someone came to Baal Shem Tov to ask for children, and Baal Shem Tov gave him. And then came another righteous man to Baal Shem Tov and told him, I don't understand, how have you done that? I checked it all in heaven, I saw there was no chance he didn't have children, he cannot have children. How you gave him that child? So Baal Shem Tov told him, I gave him one of mine. Gave him one of mine, of his own, of Baal Shem Tov's children. He saw the sorrows. Hey, alright, you're gonna raise it. It's my kid, but you're gonna raise it. So righteous people can do spooky things. Not spooky, great things. Beautiful thing.
Also, Dina was the
nice
with Dina.
You're right. She was supposed to be a maid.
Baal Shem Tov was sold to her, but he made his lots of religious. So the child grew up in the normal religion. So there's some damage for this.
Who said that he wasn't religious? Who said it?
No, can be.
I don't know. But they're considering all of that. Rav Shalom in this Shabbos was talking about that issue, and he said that the man thinks that the things depends in him. That it's because of him that he doesn't have children, that it's because of him that maybe he's not holy enough, maybe he's not righteous enough. And you see, it's nonsense. You see, Ishmaelim had 15 children, everyone. So for sure, it's not because of the righteousness. So you understand from there that Hashem, He knows exactly what He's doing with each and every one of us. And you don't have no connection to what that Hashem is doing with you. You just need to go through it. It's not because of you and Hashem is punishing and Hashem is, no, you not deserve, you yes deserve. Those things are coming from Christianity. It's not exist in our holy culture. It's not exist. And even if rabbis are talking like that, they're not connected to it. It's not Hashem talking through their mouths. It's their Yetzer Hara. Like there was one rabbi that was rebuking in the generation of Baal Shem Tov before that Baal Shem Tov was famous. And Baal Shem Tov was a hidden tzaddik a long, long period of time. And there was a rabbi that was going from one city to another and rebuking the public and breaking them to parts and making them all cry and breaking them totally. One time, Baal Shem Tov, as a hidden tzaddik, found himself in the drasha. And he heard him murdering the public, killing them. And he went up to the stage and he said, stop, and he was shouting on him in front of all of the public. And told him, stop rebuking them and stop blaming them on your sins, on your avonot. You're shouting on them because you lack of money. You're blaming them because you don't have this, because your children are not doing this. And you're blaming them on your avonot. And he rebuked him face to face, mamash everything, and showed him that all of his drasha is because of his avonot that he's rebuking them. So all of those rebukers are people that don't know how to do tshuva, so they're screaming at you that you're not doing tshuva. They don't know how to honor their wife, so they're screaming at you that you're not honoring your mother. And they don't know how to do that themselves. A man that is doing tshuva, he's opening the path of tshuva to others. The man that hates himself, he hates the people, and he hates everyone, and he's just hitting and blaming and insulting everyone. It's really a man that is... There is a story on the Magid Mikoznich that one time he was rebuking someone, and he was rebuking him very hard, and that man couldn't accept that rebuke. And after that he rebuked him, he told him, you insulted me. That man told the Magid Mikoznich, you insulted me, you hurt me, why are you saying things like that? And he couldn't accept it. So the Magid Mikoznich was apologizing. Told him, you're right, I'm sorry, I was too hard, you're right, I'm sorry, it wasn't right the way that I was talking to you. And then that person went. The student came to Magid Mikoznich after it and told him, the Rav, why you went back from the rebuke? You were right, all of the things that you told them were right, so why you apologized? So he told him, if my rebuke was coming out from my heart, really, he would receive it. But like that it's written, words that comes out from the heart can enter into the heart. So if you haven't accepted it, it's my fault. I wasn't doing it from my heart. I had something bad inside of me that I was rebuking him. I'm apologizing. So a man should be very, very clean. And we should know Hashem, He's in charge of everything. He knows how many righteous people never had children. How many people. And we can never tell, we can never understand the will of Hashem Yitbarach and all of those things. We don't know. We just need to accept everything always with love and always to know that Hashem, He knows exactly, exactly, exactly why each and every one of us need to go through what that we're going through. One, He's suffering from His children a lot. To suffer from children, you can suffer a lot more than without children. Without children, you have sorrow. But when you have children and they're not acting right or something bad is happening, Chas Shalom, the sorrow is a lot harder. So you can never tell who is suffering more. You can say you look at someone, he's got 10 children, and saying, wow, and blessed him, I made, and he wants to hang himself. And he wants to die every moment. He doesn't know how to educate his kids. Everyone is so rude in his house. Everyone dishonor him, disrespect his wife. His wife, she is a broken vessel. She doesn't have no will to live. His life is better to run to hell. He'd rather give him the opportunity to jump into hell. He's taking it and grabbing two hands. He doesn't know. Never tell. Wonderful. אחרי זאת תפילת שווא. היה בא בדרך, he went on the way toward to the city, ושמע כל צבחה בעיר, and he heard the sound of screaming from the city. Suddenly he hears screaming, it can be in his neighborhood, he comes toward to the area of the city, of the area of his house, and he hears screams. ואומר, and he's saying, יהי רצון שלא תהה בתוך ביתי, I wish that it will not going to be from my house. הרי זו תפילת שווא. You heard that scream already. The scream came from somewhere, that place exists already. So you can pray that it will not, you cannot pray that it will not going to be something that already happened. This is worthless prayer. הנכנס לקרח, this is how you should pray. הנכנס לקרח, a man that entered to a city, מתפלל שתיים, he should pray two prayers. אחת בכניסתו, one when he enters, that he's going to enter with peace. ואחת ביציאתו, and one when he goes out, that he's going to go out for peace with no problems. בן עזאי אומר ארבע. בן עזאי is saying that you should pray four. שתיים בכניסתו, two when he's entering to the city. ושתיים ביציאתו, and two when he comes out. And he is explaining, noten hoda'a al she'avar, he is thanking, he gives a thank on what that already happened, ve'tzo'ek al he'atid, and shouting, screaming on the future. Means that when he enters to the city, he's praying, let me enter and that it's going to be good. And when he enters, he's saying, thank you Hashem that you let me in a good way. And when he goes out, he's praying, please Hashem help me to go out with no damage. And when he did, he's saying, thank you Hashem that you let me out from that city and nothing happened to me. Alright? חייב אדם לברך על הרעה כשם שמברך על הטובה. The man have to say the blessing with the same heart when he's blessing on bad things, exactly like that he's blessing on good things. What's the source for that? Shenemar, that it said in the verses, Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, and you should love Hashem, your God. Hashem, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, means kindness. Elokecha means judgments of the Creator. Bechol Levavcha. Bechol Levavcha. When it says Bechol Levavcha, it means with all of your heart. But it doesn't written Bechol Libcha, with all of your heart. It's written Bechol Levavcha, with two letters bet inside. You can say Bechol Libcha, one bet inside. But here it's written Bechol Levavcha, means two hearts. And now he's explaining Bechol Levavcha, with all of your hearts. בשני יצריך, with two kinds of will, two יצרים, ביצר טוב וביצר הרע, with the good things that happens to you and with the bad things that happens to you. Means that if you find yourself that you have desire for food, something bad that you don't like it, you should say thank you to Hashem Yitbarach on that. Hashem knows why he gave you that יצר הרע. Hashem knows exactly, like that that one of the friends here, that he was doing something as a hobby in his life, and he said that his wife told him a lot of times that hobby, even though that it's nonsense, it was protecting him from a lot of other bad things. He was busy, he lived a quiet life, collecting those things that he was collecting, even though that it was a waste of time, actually, when he's checking it, when he wants to do tshuva. But his wife always told him that hobby that he had was keeping him from doing a lot of bad things, and he should be very thankful to Hashem on that, because it saved him. A bored man can go to very far places to do a lot of nonsense. Uvchol nafshecha, and with all of your spirit you should love Hashem. Afilu even hu notel et nafshecha, if he takes your soul, you should love Hashem with all of your soul. What it means? Even if he takes your soul. Like the David HaMelech is saying, "Apkik teleni lo ayachel." Even if he's coming to kill me, I wish for him. I love Hashem. I accept everything that Hashem is doing with me with love. Ubechol meodecha, with everything that you got, means bechol mamonecha, with all of your money. Rav Shalom said that people, for them, they're accepting everything, just don't touch my pocket. Everything, all sorrow, all decrees, everything, except of money. They can be Baalei Emunah, to believe in Hashem, to accept everything. Nope, just don't touch my money, and then everything is okay. Touching his wallet, oy vey, no. On that, we never talked. It wasn't in the plan. Davar acher, another way of learning that, bechol meodecha, with everything that you got, bechol mida umida shehu moded lecha, in every attribute and attribute that is, and every measure and measure that he's measuring for you. Means in every situation in your life, you should love Hashem Yitbarach with all of your heart. Even if the wife is screaming, if you don't have children, even they kicked you out from their house, you should love Hashem and not to blame no one. Rav Shalom said in Shabbos, on the explanation that Rabbeinu is bringing in the Sefer Amidot, that the meaning of sadness is that the man is angry at Hashem Yitbarach, that Hashem is not fulfilling the will of the man. You're angry at him, so alright, you're broges, you're fighting with Hashem, you're not happy. Oh, you're not helping me, I'm not going to be happy. So he's saying, Hashem is not afraid of you. Hashem is not afraid. You can keep on being broges like that, angry, no, not happy, not going to smile today, no, not going to talk to no one. Don't! Hashem is not afraid of you, you can continue with all of your nonsense. Everything is good. All right, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to continue from here tomorrow. How do you say it?